All right. Like on the one song that said, my name's written down in glory, I saw some hands go up. Good to see, good to know. So it's okay to tell everybody, my name's written down. So remember the game show, To Tell the Truth? Did you ever watch that? I don't know if it's on again or not. You know, where you had four people and they asked like three contestants. The contestants said they were all the same person. You know, somebody supposedly at least somewhat famous. They were that person, but of course only one of them was really that person. The other ones had to figure out which person was telling the truth and then which people were deceiving them, trying to make them think that they were who they thought they were. You know, our world's kind of like that now. Our world asks questions, but don't want to know the truth. You know, truth is only what they want to believe. It's only what they say it is. Going to read four passages today. Going to start out with John chapter 8. A little lengthy, verse 31 to 47. But Jesus is talking to Jews. He's telling Jews the truth in this passage. There's things in today about non-believers, but there's also churches today that need to wrap their arms around the truth. John 8, 31 through 47. Said to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they answered him, well, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? And Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son, big S, sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants. You're looking for a way to kill me, because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, Jesus said, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you're looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. We're not illegitimate children, they said. They protested. The only father we have is God himself. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks in his negative language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reasons you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. So, you know, the truth is being told. It's out there. But again, people don't want to hear it. You know, they're looking for freedom but refuse to accept the truth to get them there. And we continue to see things that signify Jesus' return is close. It's very near. As I mentioned downstairs, and I'm sure had a lot of conversation this week. It's been a tough couple of weeks, you know. You know, I struggled with emotions, how to come up with the correct words. So pray God has given them and his words are all you hear. But we faced Charlie Kirk, you know, 31 years old, wife, two kids, was murdered this week for wanting to talk about issues of the day and share his faith. You know, attacks have been made on children in churches. Attacks on innocent people riding in a train. You know, why is this happening? As much as they say this isn't a political battle, or a race battle, or a gender battle, although it, along with all those other things, are used to divide us and create divisions, it's a spiritual battle between good and evil. Satan is the father of all lies. And I think demonic control is bigger than it's ever been. People believe the lies. They embrace the lies. And sometimes they're more about it than believers embrace the truth. As always said, some false religions, they're zealous for it. They're strong in it. They go for it. And a lot of believers don't. They know the true truth. But evil has a large group. Evil has a group that spreads lies and spreads hate, suggests violence, and more. And when things don't go their way, there are riots and burnings and killings and beatings. And then some of them even act surprised when what they said is believed by other evil people who carry out the words they told them to do. They're surprised. You know, it's in our government. If you saw any of that this week, that was embarrassing. Not that our government hasn't been embarrassing before, but it's in our news. It's in our education system. A lot of other places. Evil doesn't want to share ideas. They don't want to have a conversation. They don't want to listen. They only want one way, their way. You know, common decency and courtesy has almost gone by the wayside. You know, a couple statistics I read is that these on-campus debates, on-campus conversations, communications. 72% of students, and again, this is our educational system, 72% of students believe it's appropriate to shout down speakers on any controversial issue. So if you want to talk about abortion, we got to raise our voice and drown you out. We don't want to talk about it. We want to stop you, though, or any other issues that are out there. One guy said, they call it an elite campus. I'm not sure what that is or what that means exactly, but said 1 in 3 students on this elite campus believe violence is completely acceptable to stop a campus speaker. Totally okay. I think it's learned behavior. You know, they're children of evil. They won't listen to the truth. And if you look at the people performing these acts, you see sick, demonized people following through on words they've heard and words they've believed and lies by the deceiver. They've learned this. They've heard this. It's what they're being taught. Read Matthew 24, verses 10 through 14. It says, at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Now I'll grant you, this is talking mostly about the tribulation period, that 7-year period. But I think we're starting to see that happen. We're starting to see increase of wickedness. We're starting to see that love is growing cold. I got to get my sports analogy in there. You know, the game hasn't been played yet, but before the game, you do your warm-ups. You do your stretching. If you're in basketball, we're in the layup line getting ready. That's how close we are. And we see the hate today. It's not just dislike. It's hate. And uncaring. We see love growing cold. They do not care. They do not care. You know, as Charlie Kirk's death was announced at the University of Montana, they cheered. You think of Montana would kind of be in the Midwest kind of area, that out in the country a little bit. But no, they cheered. Of course, the governor of Illinois blamed Trump. It's Trump's fault. It's always the fallback. Blame somebody. If you watch MSNBC, please stop. Please stop. All they could talk about was his debating people as hate speech aimed at certain groups. Hopefully you've heard Charlie talk. Because that's not what he was about. One of the stations even said, you know, he's been let go at this point, but he said he probably deserved it. He probably deserved being assassinated. You know, he was fired, but that's the people they have working for them. And we see that now more and more places. And it continues to come out. They're happy about it. Did you know Charlie Kirk died? Good. Yay. You know, they celebrate it. And in social media, don't even look at that. There's a lot of good on there, but there's a lot of people there that's cheering and stuff as well. And laughing about his death. People are turning others into their own workplace. It's not a good look for companies. There's consequences for what you put out there. I think I saw many of those are being let go for the nastiness that they're saying. But then I see one of the nurses that couldn't believe her doctor said it. She turned him in, and now she's been suspended for turning him in for saying he was glad Charlie Kirk was gone. So many have grown cold. We're nearing the end. You know, Charlie talked the Word of God. The Word of God's not hate speech. It's the truth. It's not hate. It's love. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 8. In Timothy 4, 1 through 8. In the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers who say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardships. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. And we see the author here gets down to where he's talking about himself. It says, for I am already poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearance. It's a reward for faith. You know, Charlie Cook, I don't believe, was murdered for his political. They call it political. I call it his moral stance. He was killed for his spiritual stance. He wasn't killed because of free speech. Although many tried to stop the communication with people attending any of his events, they tried to stop it. He was killed because of true speech. Because he told the truth. He told the truth about morality of today, based on the Word of God. And more recently, from what I saw, he even became more evangelistic, talking to people, calling them to Jesus. His favorite word was Hanini. Hanini is Hebrew. It means, here I am. Use me. That should be all of us' favorite word. And he was a vessel for God to use. You know, even in an interview just a month or two ago, he was asked what kind of a legacy he would like to leave if everything went away in this recent interview. And he even asked the interviewer, he said, what do you mean? You mean like if I died? The interviewer said, well, just if this all went away, what would you want people to remember? He answered by saying he would like to be known for his courage and his faith. And being unafraid, telling God's word and the truth of Jesus. You know, he's hated for changing lives. Jesus was hated for changing lives. You might be too, if you're out there changing lives. Final passage, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. First Peter 4, 12 through 19. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange was happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. You know, I have an invitation. Just a minute. The altar will be open. If you want to come up, you can sit in your seat and do the same thing. But we're having an invitation. I referenced George Orwell. George Orwell had a quote. He said, The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. I think that's where we're at. The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And I think we're there. You know, people who offer prayers for the Kirk family and wishes, or, you know, they're angry, they're upset, they're saddened, but I haven't seen any riots or burning or destruction. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to give life and have it to the full. You know, as much as I've struggled wanting a Jesus turning over the tables moment, just like for him to take charge and just do some damage, that's not what he calls us to do. That's his job. He calls us to keep telling Jesus it's the only way to salvation. We're to pray for the lost. Someone might call Charlie Kirk a martyr, some may not. I probably would, because that time's now come to the United States. It's not just everywhere else. It's here. It'll be more common. You know, Charlie operated Turning Point USA. And he had discussions, again, on moral questions of society. But, again, he evangelized Jesus Christ whenever he was out. Kept saying that was the main thing, to have Jesus in your life. And I think, along with others, that this is a turning point in our country. It's not a time to fear. Bible says, fear not. How many times? A lot. Fear not. It's not a time to fear, but be more active. Be more bold. Be more courageous in sharing our faith. And I'm not talking about the stuff that comes out of a lot of churches even today. Sometimes they're just as bad. They're about lying. They're about not preaching the truth. It's a turning point now for God. You have to decide, will you shrink back or will you be a part of it? You know, it's time to join the battle. Christians have sat back too long. It's time to join the battle. You need to put on your armor. In here, put on your armor. Let's go. Let's pray.